WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Barbara Bogave. In the mid-19th century, slavery was such an integral part of the fabric of our culture that images of slaves at work picking cotton on plantations and loading it onto railroad cars were emblazoned on the very currency issued by Confederate banks. In early America, banks issued paper money because the New World lacked precious metals, essential for making coins. By the 18th century, printing presses in Boston, Philadelphia, and New York printed bills for banks throughout the country. My guest, John W. Jones, is an artist who's fascinated with these images of slavery on Confederate bills and what they say about our nation's history. He collects Confederate currency and creates large paintings in bold acrylics of slave images from the engravings he finds on it. His paintings, which are exhibited alongside the Confederate bills, are now on display at America's Black Holocaust Museum in Milwaukee. A catalog accompanying the exhibit is called The Color of Money. Jones first started taking an active interest in these bills when he was working at a blueprint company in North Charleston, South Carolina. One day, he enlarged some Confederate bills for a customer.
On one of the bills, I noticed that there were slaves on the currencies. Being from South Carolina, I, of course, had seen Confederate money before, but I never realized what was on it until I took a very close look at that particular bill. It kind of blew me away, really, because it was something that I hadn't seen before. I'd not seen it in any history books or never heard about it. So it certainly sparked my interest, and I began to investigate this this phenomena, and I began to find more and more bills with African Americans on them.
Do you remember that first bill, what the image was on it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It was a bill from Charleston. It was a slave family in a field. It was in the lower right-hand corner of the bill. It was very small. If you're not really looking for it, you'd miss it very easy.
What was the slave family doing in the
picture? Well, they were actually in a field picking cotton, just that simple. They were a family basically just out in the cotton field picking cotton.
Now, you're a painter. Were you already then a serious painter while you were working this, I assume, a day job at the blueprint store?
Oh, absolutely. I've been painting and drawing since I was about 6 years old. Back when I was in early childhood, I was drawing on the ground because we didn't really have any paper because my father wouldn't let us draw on paper because we needed the paper for school purposes. So we had nothing else to draw on, but so I had drawn the ground with sticks. And, of course, I developed that talent over the years on through high school and doing bulletin boards for teachers and backdrops for teachers' plays and things like that. So that's basically how I learned to draw and paint, pretty much self-taught.
So you saw this image on this Confederate bill, and you started collecting Confederate money yourself. How did you track it down? Where'd you look for it?
Well, I started out going to Confederate stores where they generally trade old bills, and then I started to look on the Internet. I went to eBay and I actually found a place where I could bid on Confederate bills, so I started collecting it that way. As I began to paint these paintings and put it into the first exhibition that I had, people actually started sending me bills to paint.
What kind of Confederate money did you turn up? What were the images on the bills that you found?
Oh, they varied widely from anything that you could imagine of the slaves were doing in fields, trundling cotton, carrying cotton, loading cotton, baling cotton, hauling cotton, carrying cotton, picking cotton, you name it, dock work, and on and on and on. It's just a wide variety of chores that the slaves were doing on the old currencies.
Do you have a star of your collection or a really significant bill in your collection?
I think the one that really struck me most was the one that was on a Macon, Georgia bill, and that the painting I call Slave Prophets. It was the one of Moneta, which is apparently the Roman goddess of money, and she had money in a bag under her arms, gold spilling out of a bag by her feet, cotton in one hand, slaves in the background with an overseer, and a train coming to pick the cotton up from the harvest. I think that one really struck me most as to how important cotton and slavery was to the Southern economy.
I'm just looking at the an image on the cover of your book. There are two slaves picking cotton. There, one of them is carrying a huge basket of cotton on her shoulder, and she's a really, really strong-looking woman right out in the fields, dressed as a man, really, wearing a fedora.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's how the Southerners wanted to depict this female slave as being strong and able to do the work of men, actually. But, you know, of course, I see a different picture. I see the strong and indomitable character of these slaves and how they survived through all of this, the horrendous activities during the antebellum period.
You said you had seen Confederate money before. Do you remember the first time you came across it and what your thoughts were when you saw it for the first time?
Well, I think that was a long time ago. I don't even remember who had it, but I know I had seen it before. It wasn't in any books either. Someone actually had some. I think a lot of people were wallpapering their homes with Confederate money.
They wallpapered their walls with it?
Oh, yeah. It was virtually worthless after the Civil War. But people are collecting it now, so it's becoming quite valuable now. In fact, there's one particular bill, if you get your hands on it, is worth about $50,000.
Now, these images of African Americans started appearing on banknotes around, I think, 1820, before slavery was institutionalized. What did the images look like then from those bills? Were blacks even represented on them?
Well, there was actually one bill that I know of that I've investigated that had had any images of slavery on it, and that was in 1820. And that one apparently had no hint of subjugation to it at all, as I can see. It was simply blacks and whites working together on some sort of project. And I'm looking at the bill here as I'm talking to you, and that seems to be the case to me.
And when did that begin to change?
Well, after 1820, there were no blacks on any money until around 1850. And that's just prior to the Civil War. And, of course, the reason that they began to appear on money was because the war was beginning to heat up, the debate over slavery and the system in the North and the system in the South and the migration to the West, and that all became controversial. So the South began to put images of African Americans or slaves on money because this was the whole focus of all of this activity. The slavery and cotton was the backbone of the South, so they wanted to put something on the currency because although it was circulated from the banks locally, it circulated around the country nationally. So that gave the bankers a way to promote an idea, and of course that idea was that cotton was king in the South and that slavery was the instrument that they used to harvest the cotton and get the cotton out of the fields into the market.
Now, I understand something really interesting happened here in the 1840s, late 40s, when the Southern banks started saying to these Northern printers, hey, we want some pictures on the money depicting slavery, our main industry. And the Northern printers just had no idea what to do. They were kind of caught up short. What did they come up with? Did they even know how to portray slaves at the beginning?
Well, they began to, what they had to do, because they had no ready-made images, they had to actually recycle the images that they had. That is, they had to take images of white farmers or the vignettes with showing whites in the fields and change them to blacks in the fields. One particular note, I called it slave picking corn, and that clearly illustrates how they were changing the images from the banks up north and selling the images to the banks down south by changing the skin color and tattering the clothes to make them appear like they're slaves.
Another image in the book that accompanies your an exhibition of your paintings is one that I understand was very popular at the time. The bill was popular. It's of a slave mother holding her child on her shoulder. And mm-hmm. she has an apron full of tobacco leaves, and the child holds a tobacco vine.
Right.
What do you think of that image?
Well, I think that the holding the tobacco vine is part of the very thing that had them enslaved. And you notice the mother is smiling, and the baby is smiling. Well, as we said before, this is all propaganda. In fact, all of this was all about propaganda, about a way to promote that system and try to convince the North that it was just wonderful. And that's why the slaves are all smiling on a lot of the bills that you see. You never see anything about the negative side of slavery on any of these currencies.
There's an abiding debate about the Civil War, to what extent the Civil War was about states' rights or was it about slavery. Do you understand these images on these bills as adding something to that argument?
Well, I think these occurrences show a clear and undeniable, irrefutable evidence of how important slavery was to the South. I think it's a visual smoking gun, if you will. There's no getting around it. It won't go away. It's there on the money. It's clear to see. Anybody can see it. I didn't put it there. This is not revisionist history. This is something that's clearly on Confederate currency and Southern states' currencies.
John W. Jones' paintings of images of slavery from Confederate currency are now on exhibit at the Black Holocaust Museum in Milwaukee. We'll be back after a short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is artist John W. Jones. His paintings are drawn from images of slavery found on Confederate currency. The catalog which accompanies his work, now on display at the Black Holocaust Museum in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, is called The Color of Money. When you started to design the paintings, did you think, I'm just going to reproduce these images faithfully, or did you consider transforming them?
No, I never really considered transforming, because I thought that what I would do, I would paint these things exactly like I saw them on the currencies. I didn't want to change it very much, but of course some of the images were so faint and old that I had to ad lib a little bit, because when you blow something up that large, you had to put in faces and things like that. So I had to add a lot of that sort of detail and backgrounds and color to bring these things back to life. Was basically my aim to show people and to educate people and let people see and know and understand what was on the old currencies.
What's the scale of your paintings? Can you give us a sense of how big they are? And I'm thinking, looking at them in this catalog from an exhibition, that making them bigger, to me as a viewer, gives the people in these images back their humanity in a way. They really do leap out at you alive and strong.
Right. That was part of my intention as well, to give these slaves a new voice. So that they could be freed from this the currencies that they were found on. And that's why I tried to liven it up and really make the colors bright and lively to draw people into these paintings so they can really take a hard look at that subject matter and hopefully to help heal some of the wounds that has been created by slavery.
So when you exhibit... You always exhibit the bills, the money, alongside the paintings. And I guess you want your audience to kind of read the story between the two?
Right. I think it was very important to put the bills beside the painting so they can – a juxtaposition to the painting so they could see the relationship between the money and the painting itself. Otherwise, I think it would probably be just another slave or cotton-picking painting, so to speak.
When you blow the bills up, can you see the faces clearly?
For the most part, they're just about as smudged as on the original bill. So that's why I had to ad lib quite a bit on some of them. But you can see some of the expressions on some of them, and some of them you can't because, like I said, they're so small that even blown up, it doesn't help very much.
So what models or what faces do you use for your paintings?
Family and friends, basically, just people that I know from the neighborhood and things like that. Sometimes I use my face.
Yeah, I'm wondering, I'm trying to put myself in your position painting these paintings. It takes a while. You work on a painting for, I imagine, what, a couple of days?
And well, generally I have two or three going at one time, actually, because I'm trying to produce a large body of work, and I have to paint on them as I get the inspiration to do so. And a lot of times when I do paint, it's basically in the middle of the night, where I don't have the phones ringing all the time and have been distracted by grandchildren and so forth. So I generally paint, start painting around 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, and paint on up through 9 or 10 o'clock during the morning, sometimes later.
Well,
but that's generally the way I do it.
Well, I imagine you painting a face of someone you know from modern times into this scene of slavery. And I wonder if that connection, if you make that connection, if it really places you in a very visceral way back in those times.
Well, I guess to some degree it does, because reflecting on my past many, many years ago, I remember my great-great-grandmother. I must have been 12 or 13 years old at the time. And my grandmother took me up to see my great-great-grandmother, which is, I think, probably the last time I saw her alive. And from what I understand from my relatives, she was about 109 years old, and she had some whip marks on her back. And I thought that really got my attention to some degree. But being 13 years old, you don't really think that much about those sort of things until, of course, you get older.
So she showed you?
Oh yes. Well, she had a sort of a loose gown on, and you could see her back through the gown, and she was sitting there in a chair smoking a corn cob pipe.
Your family's from South Carolina, Fairfield County, where you grew up, is farming country. Did your family own a farm?
Oh yes, actually, my father worked on a farm. And he was part of his job was to plant vegetables and things for the state hospital, and we always had food to eat, of course, because growing up on the state farm, we had access to a lot of vegetables and food and stuff like that from the state hospital. So that was a very interesting period in my life, as well.
He worked on the state hospital. Is that the state mental hospital?
Yes, that's a state mental hospital. We lived about a mile from the state mental hospital.
And how much contact did you have with the patients?
Well, quite a bit, actually, because a lot of the patients during the 50s and the 60s were able to come outside the compound, and ones that weren't really severely retarded could come outside of the compound. I had one patient in particular. I remember his name is Isaac Wright, and he used to come to the house all the time and actually sit by the fireplace, and he'd spend his day there until it was time for him to go back. He was almost like a father to me, really.
Now, you were drafted into the Army in 1970. Did you see
right.
combat in Vietnam?
Yes, I did. I was with an aviation company in Vietnam, the 229th Assault Helicopter Battalion out of Binh Hoa, South Vietnam. And we did rescue recon missions. But of course, later on, I got out of the infantry. And I changed my MOS to 81 Echo, which is Army Illustrator, at Fort Jackson, South Carolina. And for the next 5 years, I was an Army Illustrator.
When did you get out of the Army?
In 1978, in Washington, D.C. area. And from that point, I did work for a graphics firm, and I worked there for a year. And then after that, I decided that I wanted to work for myself, so I started doing freelance work until I moved back to Columbia, South Carolina in 1989.
What made you move back to South Carolina?
Well, I just got tired of the rat race in the Washington, D.C. area. I wanted to get back down south to a more easy way of living, I guess. And I sort of, you know, missed home, so I decided to move back. And when I did move back, I worked at the University of South Carolina at the Earth Sciences and Resources Institute for about 5 years. Got married, moved to Charleston, South Carolina. Got divorced, moved back to Columbia. And, of course, that was when I decided that I was going to paint full-time.
It sounds as if you've done a lot of traveling in your home state, driving around South Carolina. Driving past the fields, do these paintings that you've lived with, these images of slavery that you've lived with as you've painted them, do they bubble up in you in any way?
Oh, absolutely. I constantly like to travel along the back roads through some of the cotton field country. As a matter of fact, I stopped on occasion to actually go out in the cotton field and pick some cotton to use as a model to paint some of these cotton on some of these paintings from the cotton fields in South Carolina. Looking at all of the cotton and seeing how massive these fields were and thinking about all of the slave labor that it took to pick this cotton before the invention of the cotton gin, to clean and clean all of this cotton, it had to be in a horrendous time, especially with the during the summer and the hot temperatures that we have in Columbia, South Carolina.
John W. Jones, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me.
John W. Jones. His paintings are on display at the Black Holocaust Museum in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. This is Fresh Air.